Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington this Monday morning. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle, Johnny Cake Sawville, and Jason Bishop. As always, we're brought to you by Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. Let's open up the entertainment page, find out what's going on in Hollywood, not much. Music, not much.
Zippy.
Celebrity gossip, not much, but we'll find some nuggets for you.
Well, you know what is interesting? I didn't realize this. I guess they had Saturday Night Live over the weekend, and Tom Hanks hosted from his house.
Yeah.
Did anybody watch it? Did you guys watch?
No.
Yeah, if I had known, I probably would have watched that.
You think I was up that late?
Well, even on the weekends, you're not up late?
No. Yeah. I was in bed.
No, but I was
Tom Hanks. Does Tom Hanks have a shaved head now?
It looked like he had somewhat of a haircut.
He's probably just losing his hair.
I'm thinking about just growing mine out, just having a Corona hair, and just growing it out as long as I can.
That's clippers, which are coming now on Thursday.
They say clippers are the new fire that it's hard to find.
Yes. So originally, you know, I went on Amazon Prime, which is supposed to be the fast version, right?
Yeah.
And I just clicked on which clippers are available via Amazon Prime. And then my wife also had two things in the cart, like Band-Aids, yeah, little things for the kids, right? And so I just hit purchase or whatever you do at the very end. And then all of a sudden it said the clippers weren't coming until May 6th.
What? Yes. That's like what happened with Cakes and his lighting. You have to check each one.
Yes.
Right. But there was an update. My wife said that they're supposed to come Thursday. And I had a discussion with my mom about it last night. And she got distraught when I said I was shaving my head. I was like, what do you care?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a crazy Latin thing, man.
It doesn't matter. My two boys, their hair is just growing wild. They don't care. They're fine with it. I'm just growing my beard. I'm trimming it a little bit, but for the most part, letting it go.
How do you think those places are going to do once they finally open, like the Grooming Lounge, the Roosters of the World? Are people still going to be?
I think they'll kill it once they're eventually open.
I think they would too, but people are still going to be. Depends on the economy.
The ones that are more expensive may struggle to come back.
Here's how I think they could do it. Every business is going to have to assure the public that they're doing everything in their power to not transmit stuff, right? So if you own the Grooming Lounge or Roosters or any of these places,
Michael Gilman, right?
You're going to have hand sanitizer everywhere. You're going to show them that you're all clean. And then maybe, I mean, I guess you could put on gloves, but you have to put on new gloves every time. And you're just going to have, but you have to assure them that you're doing everything in your power.
Yeah, but I think that's part of it. But I think what Jason's maybe alluding to is, look, I think the mom and pop barbershops, which are less expensive, people are going to have to get haircuts, all right?
Oh, yeah.
But I think for a lot of people, if you're out of work or you've lost all kinds of money, they're not going to go to the high-end ones. So those ones may suffer a little bit more.
Unless they drop their prices.
Right.
Yeah, and that may be a way that they have to compete, is they have to cut their prices to bring people in the doors.
Right.
I mean, look, I just read again, renters, people that rent, 31% didn't make the last payment.
I know, but
and
I was surprised.
What's a $1,200 check going to do?
I was surprised that 69% did pay.
Yes, but a $1,200 check, I think that's great. It's a good start. But if you live in this area and you're renting, what's $1,200?
Yeah. Well, right. No, they're going to have
maybe covers a month.
They're going to have to figure something out and give everybody relief and some sort of payment plan until they slow. That's why we can't do this forever. I'm sorry, we can't. We're going to have to risk things. And those of us that are older or whatever, maybe they're going to have to be left behind a little bit. But the healthy majority are going to have to get out there.
Anyway,
take
one
precautions.
Going back to what you were saying about the Saturday Night Live, I'm just encouraged that Tom Hanks looks pretty good. I mean, he might have shaved his head, or maybe it's just in this story. It looks like he's recovered.
His wife have recovered. And that was what I was going to get to. So this is good. This is good. And again, we can't lose sight of this. Even in a catastrophic scenario where we're losing 1%, 99% are getting over this.
Yes.
Right? We got to remember that.
Well,
and those numbers are huge. But
the problem is the media doesn't let you know that. They just don't.
No.
They got to be better at that.
Focus on the negative. Everyone focus on the negative.
I see some positive stories here and there, and I think you just got to use your brain. If 22,000 people have lost their lives, that's a lot, okay? I think they said statistically it might be the number one killer in the United States right now. Like, it's surpassed
heart
attacks.
Yeah, but that's just for now.
I know.
It's not over the year. It won't be.
I understand that, but...
Right.
The point is, it's still 22,000 out of 330 million Americans. It's
right.
A very small percentage.
Right,
exactly.
But the media doesn't emphasize that. They emphasize the 22,000. Like, I was just, you know, getting some oatmeal during the break, and I'm watching the Today Show, and what's the guy's name? Craig Melvin.
Yeah.
First story he talks about is new questions about how the United States responded to the coronavirus. I mean, of course they're going to start negative. They just don't emphasize the positives enough.
Well, one
so it
can say that's
more
negative,
people.
But you could also say those are facts that are coming out. I mean,
yeah, but you know what? That's actually a very annoying story that was made waves over the weekend, because it's obvious. If any country had started social distancing earlier and shutting down earlier, you would have less of an issue. That's true anywhere.
That's just a dumb point, Eric. We live here. And we had more information from other countries as it was coming here.
Well, I also have to point out, that's correct, but we had guys like Anthony Fauci saying in late February that Americans were at a very low risk and that they should still go out and to their jobs and to restaurants and live their lives.
That's one guy.
Yeah,
you had a lot of people saying things in January to the president.
Yeah.
That's reality.
Okay, this is when it gets political, but we also had a bunch of people in hell-bent on impeaching the president and not paying any attention to this thing at all either. So it's just crazy. Of course, if we had done these measures earlier, we'd be in a better situation, but also nobody wants to shut. Look at the impact of what this has done. We haven't had anything like this. The world is shut down.
Eric, I would agree.
It's devastating.
The country has to decide, you know, the government has to decide when enough is enough and when to open back up 100% of the economy, right? Because
it doesn't have to be 100%, but it has to be more.
Okay, slowly but surely.
Yeah.
But eventually it's got to get back to where it was. But you're right. I think you just have to pick your poison. You have to decide the risks. You can still do the social distancing thing or a certain monitor it. Or a version of it.
And I'm not saying yet. I don't think we're there yet.
I'm not saying yet, but this country can't take much more of it.
No, because it's going to be that the impact of this economically, it's going to take decades for people to recover.
Already feeling it.
Decades. It's just unbelievable. The unemployment stuff. You know, I remember talking to some people. I was like, well, is that person going to get his job back when things get up and running? And they're like, no, that job's just been replaced. Right. I'm now doing four jobs. You know what I mean? So, I mean, the economic impact on this is just brutal. And I don't want to get this virus. I'm doing everything in my power not to get it. But at some point, we're going to have to get back out
anyway,
there.
Anyway, I didn't want to make it. Didn't want to make it political, but it always seems to come back to that.
Yeah. I just think it's a silly point. Of course, if we had shut it down earlier, we would be in a better position.
It's obvious. I wanted to throw this out there, and I found this out yesterday. Because my family did this whole Zoom Easter thing, right? So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
I did that
there was
too.
There was like 25 boxes on the screen.
Right.
My uncle Chris, who died of brain cancer about 10 years ago.
Right.
But in 1978, he got really sick. And he ended up, he was having like respiratory problems, and they just didn't know what it was. So he went to NIH, and guess who his doctor was?
Fauci?
Fauci.
Really?
And in fact, when my grandfather passed away, he died in 1993. So Fauci established kind of a relationship with my family. Didn't know this until yesterday. But when my grandfather died in 1993 of leukemia, Fauci came to the house to see my grandmother.
Oh, wow.
Right. He seems like a great guy. I mean, he seems
Is that?
That's, well, makes sense. Makes sense. I mean, you know. But here's what I think is encouraging. So you talk about Tom Hanks getting better. You see Harvey Weinstein, who is the worst ever and looks like the sickest person ever. He's got new charges against him. He recovered from corona.
He did?
How did it not dock him off?
I thought he would go down for sure.
He looks like the sickest person ever. That's the thing that's so annoying about this thing, is this disease, for many, they say, potentially as much as 50% asymptomatic, which is mind-blowing. And then you have others where they say, you don't want this. This is the worst thing you've ever gotten in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, how can a disease be that everybody have such different reactions to it? I get it. It's about your immune system and it's about your other comorbidities. But and that's the thing that's scary, is that if we say, OK, go back to work, but people that have their own other issues, you have to stay home or whatever. A lot of us have things that we don't even know. You might have undiagnosed diabetes. You might have undiagnosed hypertension.
I just hope I have a silly immune system. Yeah. I hope it's bazilli.
Right.
To fight off the viruses.
They're going to have to roll the dice. Eric, they have to roll the dice.
Got a lot of question marks.
Right, right.
I mean, you can't just shut a country down of 330 million people for 18 months.
You just can't do it forever. No. And believe me, I don't want to go – I don't want to get this thing at all. And I think that shutting down is the right thing. But at some point,
where
you got to get
back out there. Where are we at on some of these medicines that they are trying to
figure
out? Depends
on what you read. Everyone, the whole country is against hydroxychloroquine because Trump's behind it. So that one, they'll never get good pub. Hopefully, maybe the Resveratrol or whatever that is. I did read, this was encouraging, that there's a British doctor who's working on a vaccine. Did you guys see this? And she said that she's 80% sure that this vaccine will work and it will be available by September. That would be amazing. Now,
that'd be great.
For healthcare workers first, you know, again, it's like anything else. They're not going to be able to produce 2 billion or how many, you know, 5 billion doses of this overnight. But if it works, the front lines people might be able to get some access to this maybe in September or October. That would be great.
So I guess we'll have to move the EP to 9:40. Are we doing Barry next?
We're doing Barry next, yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, Anna posted a picture and she said, definitely not a swinger. And she gets sized for her man.
Of
and
course
she's
she not
tweeted
a swinger.
A picture with her husband. Yeah. Yeah. I know. We're just killing time here, Anna. Work with us.
Turns out she's from Shady Side, not Shady.
I thought she was just Shady.
All right, Bears Beluga from the Washington Post will join us next as we talk about the Redskins' plans for the upcoming NFL draft. Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live this Monday morning on The Fan. You can also watch us on NBC Sports Washington. Join us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline is Bears Beluga from the Washington Post. Didn't know this, but he's a math guy, at least according to his latest article.
Fancy.
About the number two pick. Tell us why the Redskins shouldn't operate by gut, but they should do it by math, Barry.
Well, I mean, if you're thinking about, I think the scary part for everybody is what is Chase Young going to become? Is he LT? Is he, you know, a guy that's going to end up in the Hall of Fame? And if he falls to the Giants, are you facing him twice a year? And is that a disaster? That is scary. But I think what you're trying to do in any draft or in any situation where you're assembling a roster is win more games. And what helps you win more games? Keeping the number two pick and having that player develop into, you know, a high-level elite player at an important position, pass rusher, or does doing the right thing with, say, three lower picks, and I focused in this column on Miami, but there are other teams with multiple first-round picks, the Raiders, Jacksonville, that might be enticed to trade up and, you know, probably take Tua Tagovailoa. Did those three players that you end up with help you win more games than the one player you would take at number two, even if he's kind of a generational talent? Pro Football Focus is a great website, a football analytics website. Folks who are a lot smarter than I am about this stuff, and they've run simulations on, you know, what would happen if the Redskins stay at number two, and what would happen if, say, in their scenario, they just traded back with Miami for only picks number 5 and 18. And almost two-thirds of the time, those simulations come out to say the Redskins would have more wins than if they just stayed at number two. So it's kind of is, you know, just super enticing. The Skins, as I think we've talked about, haven't been at number two. They traded up, obviously, to the second pick to get Robert Griffin III. But they really haven't had the opportunity for a pick this high since you go back to the early 90s. They took LeVar and Chris Samuels in the early part of this century. So it's really, really, really intriguing to get that star player, that game-changing player. But I think I've come to the conclusion that you would change more games with by hitting on more picks than you would with getting a star at number two.
Barry, if you had to guess for the Redskins front office, is there like an imaginary line in the sand? Like, we will not move back past blank pick. Is it five, like for the Dolphins you mentioned? Is it, you know, getting that ninth pick that the Jags have? You know, maybe they go down into the teen, the you know, 12, 13 range. Is there a line in the sand for the Skins with this pick, do you think?
So I think, and this is a guess, but I think, you know, Ron Rivera, all coaches and executives are going to be cagey in the weeks leading up to the draft. But I think even in being a little bit cagey, and rightfully so, Rivera last week in his kind of video press conference with reporters was fairly revealing about exactly what you're talking about, that line in the sand. His thought, and I think there's some flaws in this thought, or if you trade back, the player you're trading back for that you end up getting with that pick has to be, you know, equal production and impact of the player you would have gotten at number two. I don't think that really adds up because it's discounting the other players you would get in the draft with multiple picks. But I understand what he's saying. He I think, is telling us that line in the sand may be not past five and may not exist at all, because if he thinks that Chase Young is off the charts, you know, 10-year Pro Bowler, Hall of Fame type player, which some people think he is, then maybe it doesn't exist at all. But I do think that that's telling you trading back to Jacksonville at nine doesn't seem realistic. But if you go through who would be available at five, I mean, It's a pretty high-end draft. I mean, the Okuda could be there, probably not. You know, Young would probably be off the board. They could get a tackle, which obviously they need, a number of good receivers, Judy and Lamb. So I think if it was five, you're probably getting a really impact high-end player at one of your many needs. Plus, you know, again, if it's Miami, you'd get pick 18 or 26 or 39 or some combination there, the opportunity to improve yourself at another position. And we've all talked about how you don't go 3 and 13 because you have only one need, right? So they've got a bunch of needs. I think more players make more sense. But I think if you listen to Rivera, it's not just, oh yeah, we'd love to trade down for picks 22, 32, and 42. You know, I think they need to stay somewhere near the top.
I've always just assumed that they would trade down later to get more picks. I mean, because clearly, however you do the permutation, they need more picks in this draft. Don't you agree, Barry?
Yeah, for sure. But also, you know, their ability to trade down for higher-end players is limited by the fact they don't have a second-round pick, right? Like,
right.
That's what you're talking about is the great, you know, the Patriots thing, that they are always trading
right.
a third-rounder to get a fourth and a fifth, right? And I think that makes a lot of sense. And maybe, you know, maybe that's how they do it. They keep number two but trade their third for two picks later in the draft, that kind of thing. All of that yeah. is possible. And I would also say, guys, that if their evaluation of Tua is that he's a franchise quarterback, then I change my trade down scenario in favor of taking – if you believe that this guy is going to be a franchise quarterback for 10 or 12 years – you take him. Patrick Mahomes completely transformed the Kansas City Chiefs, right? I mean, those guys, you change the conversation if you're talking about a quarterback. So I don't know what their evaluation, honest evaluation of Haskins is, and I don't know how that compares to Tua. But if Tua, in their minds, is significantly greater than Dwayne Haskins, then I say then you just take the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Is anybody yeah. talking over there? Are you getting any sense? Do we have leakers yet in the new regime?
So think about how that happens, right? Like, you have to beat reporters, columnists, whoever, the people who go out there, you have to go out there and meet these people and have casual conversations and, oh, hey, we're, you know, Ron Rivera, where are you going to live? Like, what, you know, just stuff that isn't involved in like reporting the news, but is very involved in like, now I have a relationship with you. And those people on that side of things can, you know, decide, well, this reporter is somebody I trust. And so, you know, this weird situation has given no one the opportunity to kind of build a relationship with any of the new assistants, any of the, you know, the head coach. Obviously there are people in the building who were there from the previous regime, and a lot of the beat reporters have relationships with them. But I think that's a long way of saying I think it's harder to get information out of there because, one, it's prior to the draft, and even in a normal situation, teams are not, like, loving throwing around info at this time of year. But secondly, they're just, you know, our beat corps hasn't, by no fault of its own, built relationships with the important people in the building.
Mm-hmm. Barry, we've talked about this before as well. I mean, the fact that Trent Williams can still be traded for a pick kind of makes the draft a little bit more interesting as well for the Skins, if that's something that they can do. I mean, it could be a second round pick, could be a third round or fourth round, I don't know, but you know, that could add another player in the draft
for sure. And I think you know, at some point you have to get past the idea of what they could have gotten for Trent at the height of his market and deal with the reality of what could they get now. And that fits in perfectly with, you know, what we've been talking about, that the idea that they just need more players. So if that's a third rounder, if that's a second rounder, and Trent is really, you know, do we want to go through this again with a new regime where there's a distraction of either the guy's not showing up or for a second straight year, which seems inconceivable, or he's, instead of being the steady force that he has been for most of his career here, he's a distraction in the room. He's not leading in the same direction. I think you're right that it'd be kind of surprising if they got through the draft and Trent Williams was still a Redskin. And then, you know, that kind of factors into the trade down scenario. Do you feel like, well, the third round pick we got for him, or whatever it is, second round pick, second would be ideal, I think, at this point.
Oh, yeah.
That would fill out their draft and make it feel a little bit more normal.
I think this draft, you know, I'm sure the ratings for an NFL draft on a normal year they're probably great. I don't even know what they are, but this is going to be even higher because we're just starving for something. I mean, I can't wait. I mean, it's just, that's all I've been looking forward to in the month of April.
It's a real sports event. I mean, I've kind of thought the hype about the draft over the last 20, 25 years has gotten out of control. But right now, like, shoot it directly into my veins, right? Like, you've got nothing going on. This is an opportunity for fans to think about, you know, not how they don't want to come within 6 feet of somebody at the grocery store, but instead, like, you know, what does my team's roster look like? Like, what are their weaknesses? What do I have faith in? You know, in Redskins fans' case, the new coach, head football officer, whatever he is, what's the direction he's going in? What are his explanations for why they traded or why they didn't trade? What do they like about, you know, the fifth round pick this year becomes a lot more interesting than a normal year because we're in a desert right now, and this thing is the draft is the oasis.
Mm-hmm.
We're joined by Barry Svrluga from the Washington Post. You know, the NFL had done such a great job over the last decade plus of building the draft into this huge event. We saw the crowds in Nashville. We could have imagined how big the crowds would have been in Vegas this year. Going forward, once we're through this pandemic, do you ever see it getting back to those sorts of levels with those, you know, massive amounts of people out on the streets, in bars, overflowing into the draft areas? Or does it become more of, you know, an intimate thing? It doesn't have to be a Zoom thing every year, but, you know, scale down maybe like in a theater like it was back in the 80s and the early 90s.
I don't think, you know, take the pandemic out of the equation. I don't think the NFL has any sort of, like, mind frame of scaling anything down. They want to dominate the sports calendar. And again, take the virus out of the equation. They have set up a situation where other leagues would kill to have essentially an 11-month calendar where on any given day the NFL could dominate the news. They basically shut down in June, but they've got, you know, it used to be no media used to go to OTAs and feel like there was urgency to write something that day. They're, you know, guys working out, like maybe you stop by and get a story that you run later in the summer or something. Now it's like, if they have availability, you got to be out there and somebody might make news. I mean, think about last year's mini camps when Trent didn't show up. Like, that's a story that drives the talk for and supersedes anything that any other sport is doing at the moment. So, you know, if we get back or when we get back to a situation where it's normal to be in crowds, I would think that the NFL would, you know, take the draft back to Vegas and have it be almost bigger than ever.
Where were you supposed to be this past weekend? Were you going to be down in Augusta covering the Masters?
So in a weird situation, I was not going to do the Masters just because the Final Four was supposed to be in Atlanta, and Chuck Culpepper, who would cover the Final Four for us, hadn't done a Masters in a while. So I said, Chuck, you can do this one. But normally, you know, I was missing the Masters yesterday or over the weekend. I mean, I had a poured a cocktail in a Masters cup and wore a Masters hat and, you know, let the tears fall down my cheek a little bit.
Wow. Yeah.
So bad.
That's why I couldn't watch. It just would make me too depressed.
So how much did you watch?
Well, I wrote a thing about last year's Masters, just, you know, all the recreating the flow of that week and Tiger winning. Right. So actually took a couple of days. I mean, you joke that this is work, but you guys have a jokey work job too. Like I took
You're
a couple
so
days
right.
and watched. Yeah, exactly. I mean, so my work like last Wednesday or Tuesday or something was like watching the final round and taking notes and like, you know, talking to people I walked the course with that day. And so not a bad way to kill a couple of days during quarantine, but I felt like I had gotten my Masters fix by rewatching that stuff on masters.com.
Barry, have you thought about covering this thing in November? If God willing, we can do this. I'm prayerful that we can. What's the temperature going to be like down there? Forget about the course conditions. What's the temperature?
Yeah. So it looks like the normal temps are like high 50s to high 60s. So totally, totally playable. And in fact, yeah. You know, I've covered many Masters where a day or two has been, you know, 61 or something.
Right.
I mean, you know, I think you guys are probably in this too. I'm pessimistic about when everything is going to return, but you know, if and when it does, like you talk about the NFL draft being an oasis, like how great would it be just to turn on something that was live and meaningful and felt normal? And, you know, even if there are no fans, which is a possibility. That's not as easy as it sounds with golf. I think everybody's jumping to conclusions that, well, like, well, I mean, golfers can socially distance totally in a normal way, and you don't need to have fans, and there's not many people that need to be at the facility. It does discount, like, just to pull off a golf television broadcast is a couple hundred people. There are volunteers that would be needed. You talk about caddies. You want to get all these people tested. I talked to people at a couple of the golf governing bodies last week, and they were like, yes, we're working through all scenarios, but it's not just as easy as, like, getting people there and having the tournament go on. There's a lot of logistics that they're considering.
Mm-hmm.
Right. All right. I, by the way, I'm making a prediction that if they do pull this off, that they fly in azaleas. That I know they're going to overseed, and I know it's going to look good, but there's no way they have this without azaleas there.
They'll employ whatever greenhouse devices and
yes.
take the azaleas into thinking yes. November is April, but it right. won't be a bland course. I would agree with you there.
Yep, 100%. Thank you, Barry. Stay safe, buddy. We'll do it again soon.
Appreciate it. Hope you guys are hanging in.
All right, man.
You
all
too,
right,
man.
Pal. All right, you need a little tasteful family fun to break up the lockdown monotony? Order a make-it-home pizza kit from our pals at Paisano's and let the games begin. For just $10, Paisano's gives you the dough, sauce, and cheese for a 16-inch pie. Once you pop it out of the oven, snap a pic of your creation, post it on social media with the hashtag Paisano's made by me, and you're entered to win some pretty sweet prizes, including skins, tickets, memorabilia, and Paisano's pizza for life. Paisano's, not just pizza, but something for everyone, delivered. More at paisanospizza.com.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. You know, I was thinking about this yesterday. We did three Easter baskets. Jason, did you end up doing Easter baskets? You said that your daughters, they're out of the Easter basket game. Cakes, did you do Easter baskets?
Nope.
EB?
Wife made eggs with the kids, with the girls. That was it.
Yeah, we did the coloring of the eggs for Isabella, but we did three Easter baskets. My oldest actually was like, if you get Easter candy, I thought she might have been out of the Easter candy game. She was like, can you get me Sour Patch Kids?
Oh, Sour Patch Kids, so good.
So we did the Easter candy. I'm surprised, EB, you went without Peeps this year then.
Yeah, I mean, believe me, I've had plenty of sugar. yeah, I don't need it.
Your teeth could take a year off from the Peeps.
Yeah, not just my belly. I'm just eating so bad right now. I'm very depressed. This has to end just for that. Just becoming a big fatty. If the Rona doesn't kill me, diabetes or high blood pressure or just being a big fatty will. This is not a good situation.
Something's going to get you.
But have you done an actual before and after on the scale? Do you know where you were?
No, I refuse to get on it. I just know I can tell. I can feel when I run down the stairs, I can feel more jiggle.
He doesn't want to look at the scale like I don't want to look at my 401k balance.
Exactly. Yeah, I still haven't looked at my investments.
I won't do it.
Oh,
no,
I've looked. I've looked.
Of course you have.
My wife actually said it's not as bad as I'm imagining.
It's recovered some.
Yeah.
Well,
I haven't looked.
When the Dow got down to 18,000, we were basically broke. So now that it's back to 23, I mean, it's respectable.
You don't feel quite as bad.
It's respectable. Right?
Yeah, I haven't
looked. Do you wear a belt on occasion here, or do you like sweatpants every day? Because the question
I haven't worn jeans in a month.
If you haven't got on a scale.
Every day at the studio.
I know, but if he hasn't got on a scale, maybe you're wrong. Maybe you haven't gained weight.
No, I know my body.
I would notice by the belt loop.
I know my body. I've gotten a little chubbier. There's no doubt.
By the way, I may have overstated it. When Jason said he lost like 5 pounds, I have a scale down here like my wife has in the studio. Mm-hmm. And at least maybe it's changed over the weekend because it's only down like 2.
Well, good.
What did you eat something?
I don't want anybody to lose weight
I had not one. I had two bowls of cereal this morning and a granola bar. So
what kind of cereal? Was it Nubby or was it something that we would actually like?
I mean, one of them is Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Solid.
That was my follow-up. I started with the more healthy, which was just like granola, low-fat granola cereal.
Not feeling that.
I usually like that one with the raisins. I actually really like that. They didn't have the one with the raisins. It's only $1.99 at Harris Teeter, so that's also
the older
I get,
the more sugary I want my cereal.
Yeah.
I want like Lucky Charms. I want just load of golden grams.
I've been eating that.
I don't want anything that's loaded with fiber.
And to be honest, the Cinnamon Toast Crunch, they didn't have, at least on the cereal aisle, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, the brand. So I got the Teeter version, which is not nearly as good. It can't touch it.
No, all right.
My daughter picked up Cinnamon Toast Crunch flavored coffee creamer. You think I'm not putting 40% coffee creamer in with my coffee to make it taste like Cinnamon Toast Crunch?
I swear, EB, I know you're not a huge coffee guy, but you do. I think they had a Peeps creamer.
Really?
Yes. I'm telling you, I saw Peeps out there, and whenever I see Peeps, I always think of Bickle.
Of course. It's your go-to.
No, what's the one that makes you sweat? Is it Starburst makes your head sweat?
Starburst. If I have any, yeah. I mean, I'm sure it's like pre-diabetic condition. But I've had that for 30 years.
Right.
If I go to the movies and I get like a pack of Starburst, but middle pack, my head just sweats.
By the way, here's what you should do when you buy any pack of Starburst. Okay, you open it, you rip it up.
I know what you're going to say.
Then you dump it out onto the table.
Get rid of all the yellows.
Then you find all the wild cherries.
Yeah.
And you take them in your hand. And you throw them against the wall.
Those are the best ones.
And you let the birds or the squirrels in your backyard eat them.
Who doesn't like the wild cherries?
I know, Cakes.
Right,
I'm
with Bickle. You are an anomaly.
Bickle. Get rid of the stupid yellow.
Oh,
the yellow.
Lemon is so good. Lemon and orange, delicious. Strawberry,
like
very
sour.
Good.
But
wild cherry.
Cakes also doesn't like to put bananas in his cereal. And I don't know what you're thinking.
I do not.
Well, I don't really like bananas.
Here's what I put in my cereal.
How do you not like bananas in your cereal?
Strawberries, raspberries, blueberries, blackberries all go in before a nanner.
Yeah,
By the way, blackberry is a low seed.
Born on this planet.
I'll put blueberries in my cereal.
I'm sure I'm going to put something that came out of this into my cereal.
That looks so bruised and hurting.
Well, it looks fine when
I eat it. You obviously like them. You're eating it. You already ate that one.
Wrong. I don't like them. Oh. I eat them because they're here, and I don't want them to go to waste. And I know they're semi-healthy. I don't eat them because I like them. Nobody eats bananas because they taste good.
Okay, well, you don't have to buy them. Why are they
in
your
trying
house?
To be healthy. Doing it for the family, probably.
It's smoothies. It's a smoothie base. That's
a huge smoothie base.
That's what they're for.
True. Right. Yeah. No,
that's
all
they're good for. And banana splits.
They're for slicing up or putting on peanut butter sandwiches.
Who makes a banana split?
I'm kidding. It's an old bit. I used to want a banana split all the time when I went to Farrell's back in the day.
Right.
Back
that's where you
Landover
can watch
Mall.
Them make the pizza, right?
No. Farrell's was like an ice cream parlor.
No, but they had pizza. Eric's right. They had one in Landover Mall, I believe. They didn't just serve ice cream. They had meals.
Yeah, but ice cream was the one seed. It's why you went there.
Well, maybe I'm thinking of, what was it that was in Crofton?
It was called Pappy's Pizza.
Or Shakey's?
Shakey's.
Yeah. No, but you're thinking of Pappy's, EV.
Maybe Pappy's.
Pappy's was a Shakey's ripoff.
Yeah. It was silly.
What was the place in College Park? Was it Swenson's?
Remember for the ice cream?
Yeah, correct.
Is it Swenson's?
It's no longer around, at least in College Park.
That place was awesome.
Well, we're doing old man, but Howard Johnson's used to also have great ice cream sundaes.
Never went to Hojo's. Never did
I loved Hojo's.
EB, did you have anything else on the entertainment page?
I mean, there's a lot,
about?
But maybe I should just do it tomorrow. I mean, I don't want to burn it. There's not that much going on.
Jason, how far along did you get on Bloodline? Are you on season 2 now?
Yeah, I'm episode
Jason's
9.
Jason's an epic walker / binge watcher.
He's a
during
binge
this quarantine.
Watcher. Yeah, he is. Yeah. He does that well.
Well, I mean, there's nothing else to do during the day.
It's true.
So I got to watch Homeland today. What else do I have to watch today? I still haven't seen The Scheme yet. I got to watch The Scheme. It's still
you
on
know
my
what
DVR.
I have to do? Drabby, I don't know if you could chime in. Apparently, I got to make the pick for the Redskins for Pro Football Focus for their mock draft. I got to record, some video.
Pretty tough to say, Chase Young.
Yeah, but I don't want to do it. I got to actually do it. You got to see, JP will just do it and it'd be terrible. I want to actually do it well.
You got to have a few nuggets, too.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to just say, like, Chase Young.
Right. Well, like, my point is, we've been talking about it for months. How hard is it to prepare for the second pick in the draft?
Just get some bullet points.
No, I said I'm going to take Chase Young, but I don't. Now I got to actually research it.
Make sure you say, this is for Pro Football Automatic Focus.
Yes, please do that. You have to do that.
Do I have to do that today, Drabby?
That's your homework, Rick.
Have
30
fun.
Seconds. Pretty
30
tough.
Seconds is going to take him
exactly.
30 minutes.
Yeah, I just
minimum.
Don't want to do it. Are they going to use the – it has to be video too, right?
Yeah, they'll get you slouching for 30 seconds.
What, Drab?
For 30 seconds, Yeah, but 10 of it is going to be, and we're going to draft Chase Young. Oh. All right, we got to get out of here. For Bish, Cake, CB, I'm JP. We'll see you tomorrow. Granddaddy next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.